Let's take another peek at Joel's statement. If, by some accidental chance, you are and always have been good, forget it as fast as you can, because it may keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's the rest of the statement. I do not believe there is any more room in heaven for good people than for bad people. Whether, to human sense, you appear to be good being or bad being at the moment, as a human being, you have potentialities either way, and anything could come along and upset the balance. Therefore, forget goodness and badness. Just remember being. Forget about your humanhood. Remember that in your divine being, all that God is, you are. All that the Father has is yours. Then open your ears inwardly to be receptive. Whenever I hear, then in your, remember that in your divine being you are this, I always feel like adding, that's the only being you are. We're not human beings learning that we're divine beings too. We're a false sense of human consciousness learning to drop it and to live in our divine being. Suppose you were to stretch forth your hand to touch something and realize, but how can I? I have no hand. What is this that is stretching forth? Well, that was the idea I had in mind made visible. And that is precisely how a hand became formed originally. The desire to touch became a hand. Your inner concept becomes the outer image. The human hand is that image. The human foot is that image. The human eye is that image. The human ear is that image. Every organ of the body is an image in mind, not formed consciously, but over hundreds and thousands of time years made into images that appear now, and we have simply accepted those images. When you recognize that you cannot really touch something, that is an image in your thought moving out to touch an image in thought, you are stopping the world mind in you. With that realization, that same hand that you reach out to touch with has been guilty of wanting to slap with, and that was not a divine impulse. That was the cosmic mind functioning itself, personalizing itself as that desire, and then doing it, using this, which you call your hand, as its expression. That was an image in the in the cosmic mind appearing as your hand slapping. You find you get into this understanding and can step out of it, out of the belief that this is my hand doing something. It isn't. This is the outer expression of an idea that's in my mind. This is simply imaging forth my wish, which I have thought was my wish, which is the wish of the world mind. My hand is expressing the world mind all the time, unless I take myself out of the world mind, and then my hand expresses the divine mind through my soul. Then it's not a good hand or a bad hand. It's not a hand. It's either divine mind expressing or world mind expressing. Divine mind will never make that hand slap or steal or shoot or kill. Divine mind will always move that hand harmoniously, lovingly. Cosmic mind will do it both ways. And the cosmic duplicate will sometime make you think it's a divine expression, because it duplicates love in a very unusual way. A love that is love today and hate tomorrow. Whenever you find you're doing opposites, first one and then the other, recognize you have not come into the conscious awareness that you are not in the image. And you are still living as that image, calling it your form, your hand, your eye, your ear, when it isn't at all. It's a cosmic image locally appearing. But when you know that you're not in that image, you'll find a new power move through you, because you'll be acknowledging the presence of the Spirit. And lo, I come quickly. And suddenly that heartbeat is restored, the lung pulsation is restored, the ache in the back is removed, the eye begins to have vision, the ear begins to hear. Why? It's no longer a servant of the world mind. The world mind can no longer personalize itself as your hand, your ear, your heartbeat. You're in the infinite rhythm of the soul. Reality is becoming manifest instead of its cosmic duplicate. The opposites are always a sign that you're still living in a body instead of recognizing it as an image in which you do not live. God knows nothing of health, says Joel, because God knows nothing of the lack of health. And therefore, there's no use to bring or to go to God for help. Now, you know, we all go to God for help, or at least we used to. There's no use to go to God for help. Very often, students lose the way because they're seeking something through God of which God has no awareness. Now, what's the alternate to seeking through God that of which God has no awareness? It would be to accept that where I am, God is. And therefore, that which I was seeking was by denial of that which I am seeking, I am. I am that which I am seeking. Everything is contained in my spirit. And so if I simply let, do not deny that I am, rest in the trust that I am the Spirit of God, then the magic of spirit manifests as the fulfillment of the need, whatever the need might be. Because in spirit, all needs are already met. Then you're not in time. You're now. Spirit is now. The moment you accept the nowness of your spiritual selfhood, you're out of the karma in time. You're out of the need you thought you had. Now, your soul realized here is the soul of everyone in the universe. Now your soul is the soul of the murderer. And for you, he's no longer a murderer. He cannot. He has been an image in your mind. Now your soul stands there, not an image in your mind. Your soul is the identity there which you had branded in your mind as a murderer. Your soul isn't going to shoot you. Your soul isn't going to lower your wages. Your soul isn't going to gossip about you in a false identity here. You had a false identity there. In true identity here, you have a true identity there. You're in the one self, the one life, the one activity of spirit, revealing itself, confirming the Christ teaching that the Father can never leave the Son, that there must be a Son there. Realized, accepted, lived in, who is not living in a body image and calling it his physical body. Whether you're a saint or a sinner, says Joel, I'm sure God is unaware of it. God's awareness extends only to a knowledge of his own nature. There's nothing saint and nothing sinnerly about God. To be a saint, he would have to be something better than something else. And in God, there is no better and there is no worse. There is only God, the one, infinite being. The title of his chapter was, you remember, Above the Pairs of Opposites to Being. Coming out of the pro and con of the image world into the one of being. And your name in reality is spiritual being, the one. When the Word of God comes to you, you will discover that you really are not being, but God is being you. If you know that now, the Word of God has come to you. God is being you. But God isn't being a withered arm, or a blind eye, or an arthritic back. And because God is being you, the withered arm, the blind eye, or the arthritic back are not you. God is being you. This isn't that God will be you if you're good or bad, if you're a saint, if you do some nice things, if you love your neighbor. No, God is being you. It doesn't depend on anything. It doesn't depend on a single thing you do or say. God is being you independent of the image you have called you. And when you get rid of that belief in the image, God, which is being you, is accepted, and you are in the Word of God, which says that I am, I am. That's the truth of you now. God is being you. But God is not being your mortal self. God is being you, your immortal self. And you don't have both an immortal self and a mortal self. You have an immortal self and a belief in a mortal self. The only thing mortal about you is your belief in mortality. There is no mortal self. The body image is the visible expression of your belief in mortality. When you have removed the belief, you will find you're on the way to translation. Enoch's translation, John's translation, Jesus' translation were the result of the removal of the belief in a mortal body. So was Joel's translation. That is our path, the removal of the belief in a mortal body. And that is the end of the reincarnating cycle. When I have no belief in a mortal body, I have no need to reincarnate into a physical form again. I am released from the cycle of reincarnation. I, in the absence of a belief in mortal form, material world, I am the resurrection. Immortality has no opposite called mortality. Life has no opposite called death. Eternality has no opposite called time. Infinity has no opposite called space. Perfection has no opposite called imperfection. Good has no opposite called evil. Spirit has no opposite called matter. All of the so-called opposites of reality are simply cosmic mental duplication. Cosmic imagination locally accepted. The pyramiding of one cosmic lie. And the proof is whenever you are able to stand in the truth, it reveals itself as the truth. You don't have to go outside to anyone to prove anything. You stand in the spiritual identity of your own being, which is never unemployed, which is never lacking, which is never limited, which is never sick. And as you learn to live in that identity, you find you're never unemployed. You're never sick. It's only when you fall out of that identity, and then you pick yourself up, you try to discover where and why you have fallen out of identity, and as fast as you know how, you get back in. When the Word of God comes to you, you will discover that you are really not being God, is being you. And for those of you who haven't seen that, it's on page 126. And if you circle it in red, white, blue, yellow, and gold, and every color you could get, and looked at it once a day, until you know it's true, until you're willing to walk out upon those words and live them and let them live you. This is the truth of you. I and the Father are one. God is being me. You and the Father are one. God is being you. And the denial of that is the karma of the world. Once you recognize that there's only one being, that means your being is my being. And therefore, you cannot be good to me or bad to me. You can only be to me what you are to yourself. That is all. You can only give the world a level of your consciousness. If you're not being what you are, you cannot give the world its identity in your consciousness. You can only give it human love, human benevolence. Sometimes that changes to human something else. But if you're being what you are, then God being you will recognize the child of God everywhere. The light recognizes the light. The soul manifests the absence of the withered arm, the absence of the blind eye. The soul manifests that vision is never removed. Right where the blindness appears to be, the vision of the Father always remains. It is never removed. We remove ourselves from the vision. mind is separated from soul. Blindness, whenever someone comes to you who's blind, you know they're not blind, but they're living in a state of separation from their own soul. And once the soul is restored, that which we call human sight comes back. Blindness is separation from soul. Sickness is separation from soul. Death is separation from soul. Every human discord is separation from soul, and the separator is the mind. The five senses in the mind separate us from soul, and soul is one with the Father. And so the world of man lives separated from the Father because it doesn't have its own soul. I was looking again through the Christmas greetings of the various churches on the church page. Some of them are inspiring, poetic. Some of them are so pedestrian, it just doesn't seem believable that the same cliches can be spoken on that page year after year. It's as if somebody reached in the drawer and got out Form 12 for this year. They're looking at God's universe and not recognizing it because they're looking through two human eyes that aren't there. Everybody's waiting for that second coming. And the Christ here is saying, nobody wants to recognize me. And Christ is the identity of each individual who is waiting for the coming of Christ. The evangelist who preaches, he will come, does not know his own name, is Christ. And so he lives in a false identity. And he leads the blind because he is blind, and they walk in blindness, away from reality, away from the life, back into this mortal creature who's trying to find God up there, when God is his true being. If we learned all year long nothing more than God is my being, and learned it, it would have been a beautiful year. For time would be no more. Space would be no more. Incarnation would be no more. Mortality would be no more. All that is unlike God would be no more. Only paradise. Only reality. God is conscious of God's own nature, and once you are conscious of God and Christ in you, is the reality of being realized. Living in the kingdom of heaven on earth. That doesn't seem very far away anymore. It seems within our grasp as we learn to give God the benefit of some of the doubts we have entertained. God has only one child, one offspring, one life. No matter how many billion times it may be lived on earth, it is the only life that is being lived. God is the same to all. It does not look that way. But the degree of harmony in your experience represents the degree to which you know this truth. That is what determines your life experience. That's on page 127 of the ninth chapter of Beyond Words and Thought. In St. John, after the paralytic is healed, the Pharisees come over to Jesus and complain about it. They want to slay him because he has done these things on the Sabbath day. They're not aware that he hasn't done anything at all. And he tells them so, and they don't understand that. But we must. Jesus did nothing. And the Christ Spirit itself did nothing. It didn't heal anyone. Because here's what he says: My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. When you know that God is your being, My Father worketh hitherto. You're accepting that God is doing God's job where you are. Now, you know that's true. But if you're willing to let God do God's job where you are without your personal sense of interference, then your Father worketh hitherto, which is the truth, whether you accept it or not. But when you accept it, you will also add, and I work. In other words, that which the Father is doing here, you think I am doing. I appear to be doing. But it isn't I doing it. It is the Father doing it, and it appears as me doing it. My Father worketh hitherto. God is my being. And therefore, if I am a clear channel, not asking the Father to function through a material body or a human mind, but have dropped the belief in a material body, dropped the belief in a human mind, and can be resting in the Father, letting the sea of Spirit interpret itself, it will appear that I am doing something, but I'm not. My Father worketh hitherto. To the degree that we learn how to do this, grace expresses. That's the meaning of God as only one child. Where you are is that child. Where your neighbor is that child. Where anyone is that child. The one infinite child of God is all there is on this earth. And therefore, Joel's statement fits into this. Only in your surrender of the belief in your goodness as well as your badness can you attain spiritually. Now, that word goodness or badness could well have been said in your personal sense of power or your intelligence or your charity or your good behavior. Any words of human nature with their opposites, like goodness and badness, could have fitted in there. You've got to drop the belief that there is a good you or a bad you, and see that there's only God being you. And the God that is being you is not being a good you or a bad you, but a perfect, invisible you. If your consciousness is unaware of it, you translate that perfect invisible you into this image out here. And then you label the image good or bad, and you're a few steps from reality. Something interesting: there's neither lack nor abundance in the spiritual realm. I'm sure when you get to heaven, you'll find there is not a scrap of anything stored up. Because all heaven is consciousness unfolding, and it unfolds as the need appears. Now, if God is being you, and you are aware of it and trust it, then I, the Father, go before you. I, the Father, make the crooked places straight. I, the Father, work hitherto. I, the Father, meet every need before the need expresses. And I, the Father, appear to human sense as the need fulfilled. I, the Father, am the hidden manna. I, the Father, walk where the world sees you. I, the Father, am immortal being now. I, the Father, am your divine life now. I, the Father, recognize no matter and no powers of matter. I, the Father, recognize no gun to shoot at me, no sword to thrust at me, no germ to attack me, no person to hate me. I, the Father, see only what is my nature everywhere. And that is the bread that comes back to you. Wherever there is I, the Father, living your life, you are casting divinity upon the waters of your consciousness, and it comes back as divine qualities manifesting your life. We seek nothing materially, therefore, because it isn't there. We accept the presence of my Father's Spirit as mine, and then that which we would have sought materially appears when and where needed. We're letting it all spin out from our spiritual selfhood instead of seeking it in a material form in the imaged world out there. We're manufacturing our own perfection from within by letting the Father be my life without a second life here. Be my body without an imaged mortal body here. We're preparing for translation. Grace lives my life. I'm neither good nor bad, rich nor poor, saint nor sinner, sick nor well, alive nor dead. I am I. All that I am is I am. I'm neither Jew nor Gentile, neither white, black, nor yellow. I am I. All that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. Now who said this? According to the book, Joel said this. But I speaks through and as Joel. And therefore, if we know Joel, we know that this is I speaking to us, telling us who it is. It is I. It is the I of you, telling you who you are. It is declaring that it is you. And all that is not you, therefore, must be laid aside. All that the Father hath is showing itself forth through you. In order to show this forth continuously on earth, the only thing you need do is be willing to share it. The moment you fail to do that, you dam it up and you lose it. You do not try to covet, possess, or own God. God is the freedom of your being moving out into the universe, expressing everywhere. You let God do God's work where you stand. You don't tell him when or where or how. And God will be loving. God will be sharing. God will be kind. God will be life expressing. God will be merciful. God will be truth, making itself visible. To be illuminated is to know you are the expression of God. And even though your neighbor isn't aware that he is, you accept that for him. Quietly. Not forcibly, not visibly. Quietly. Within yourself. When you can face the world, page 134, when you can face the world, looking at everyone, seeing the saintliness of his soul, with no judgment as to his human evil or human good, you have entered the Christ ministry. You are about your Father's business, and not until then. Well, Joel's made his points, and they're clear. Your Father worketh hitherto where you are. And if you're a clear channel, then the human self stands aside, and the work that your Father is doing where you are makes itself manifest as your life. You're not good, you're not bad, you're not sick, you're not well. You are a divine being. You are whole, complete. We're moving out of this year as mortal beings. We're coming into the new as immortal. So next time we will do chapter 10, incorporeality. We'll continue with some of the statements in John 5, starting from about verse 17. I feel the Father's love within us all, and I hope we all share that feeling at this moment. Thanks very much.